So we come in this season of Lent. Every second Sunday of Lent, we always pause at this mystery of the Transfiguration and we read the account from the three different Gospels that feature this incredible day. But here in Matthew's Gospel, it finds its own specific place. Before Lent, we were reading over a number of weeks from chapters 5, 6, and 7, which is Sermon on the Mount. So we were there on the Holy Mountain, on the place where the Lord Himself dwells. Mountains are always a sign of God's presence. In Matthew's Gospel, there are three mountains where the Sermon on the Mount happens. Here, it's usually and traditionally assigned as Mount Tabor. Scholars say it's much more likely to be Mount Hermon because that's near Caesarea Philippi and where the events immediately prior to the Transfiguration take place. And the third mountain is Calvary, and so the death of Jesus. And these three mountains mark and shape the ministry of Jesus. That as we saw in those weeks leading up to Lent, as Jesus taught and gave instruction like a new Moses, as he offered a way to live, a way to experience that fullness of the reign of heaven, what it was to be part of the kingdom of heaven, what it was to be incorporated as the new people of God. Here, on this second holy mountain, on Mount Hermon, then suddenly the Lord reveals himself in all of his glory, and he is, and we stumble in English to find a word to capture this experience. It's a word that we don't really use in many other places, but it's the word transfiguration that comes from the Greek word that is a form of the word metamorphosis. It's this whole change and transformation. What the disciples saw when Jesus was caught up in that moment of transfiguration was this whole experience of metamorphosis, of this change of the very form of who he was. Every part of his being is changed, is transformed. As an invitation to us to do the same. As a sign to us of what Jesus will be in his own resurrected body, but of what we one day will be when the Lord finally finishes his work with us. After our death, when at the fulfillment of all things, the heavens and the earth are finally reunited in the new creation, and we will experience our own transformed, our own metamorphized bodies, our own bodies finally the way that God intends us to be, living in a world that has also been transformed, also changed. This is the experience that Peter, James, and John are caught up in. But of course, they're not the only witnesses. There are these five witnesses to this moment in human history when the Son of God is finally revealed in all of his glory. Because Peter, James, and John are joined by two other human witnesses, heroes of the faith. Moses, representing the law, Moses, the lawbringer, Moses, the one who himself was able to go up onto the mountain and experience the very presence of God. Moses, who came back from that experience, changed and transformed. But the scriptures are quick to tell us, and we read it in Exodus 24 and Exodus 34, that when Moses was in that encounter, sure, he came back changed, but it was just his face that was changed. His face shone like the light. But here in Jesus, it's not just his face, but every part of him, even his clothes, are changed and transformed. And then Elijah, who likewise was caught up in that magic moment of the experience of God's very presence when he was taking shelter up on another holy mountain. That same experience of God's very presence on the mountain of Horeb. And so we are invited into this same experience as we journey with the Lord through this season of Lent. And it's also interesting that it seems that for Matthew, he wants us to reflect upon this scene of the transformation, the transfiguration of Jesus in the light of the third mountain, in the light of the cross, in the light of Calvary. And when we think about these two scenes, we see the parallels. Here on Mount Hermon, Jesus is revealed in all his glory. There on Calvary, Jesus is revealed in all his shame. Here on Mount Hermon, his clothes are transformed. His clothes shine with this brilliant light. There on Calvary, he's stripped naked. His clothes are bartered with. His soldiers toss dice to win the prize of his clothes. Here on Mount Hermon, there are Moses and Elijah as his two witnesses who stand on each side of him. There on the cross, it's the two brigands, the two thieves who are his companions, as a sign not of the glory of what Israel has become, but of the depths of what Israel has sunk into, the depths of sin, the depths of turning away from God. Here on Mount Hermon, the whole scene is changed when this cloud of light descends upon the mountain. There on Mount Calvary, it's not a cloud of light, but a shroud of darkness that covers the whole scene. Here on Mount Hermon, it's the very voice of the Father that declares unto those who are assembled, that here is my beloved Son, listen to him. And at these words, the three disciples fall on their faces in adoration. They fall on their faces in shame. They fall on their faces in worship, because they suddenly recognize and realize who it is who's revealed before them. There on Mount Calvary, it's one of the Roman soldiers who declares begrudgingly that here at least is a Son of God. We see this marked transformation when we reflect on the glory of the Lord revealed in the transfiguration, when we take that scene and we ponder it while staring at the cross, when we allow the cross that is the end result of these 40 days of meditation. The end of our journey is that experience of entering into the passion of Christ, to be transformed once again, not just for a fleeting moment in the transfiguration, but in the transformation that happens for eternity in that moment of the resurrection. That we're invited indeed, if we gather with these disciples, to fall down at the feet of Jesus, then we can be like Peter and experience all of his glory, unlike Peter at the Calvary, at the cross, when he's not anywhere to be seen, when he's running away, hiding in his shame for having denied the Lord. The invitation for us is to join those disciples, to look upon him with love, to be like Peter, who loved the Lord so much, to be like John, who Jesus loved as his beloved disciple, to be like James, who was the first of the apostles to lay down his life as a martyr. This is the invitation that we are given as we continue our journey through this season of Lent, to join this great crowd of witnesses, to join all those who worship before the Lord, who experience the wonder of the Lord transformed and changed, to experience the light of his presence, but to know that light is for us. That light is to shine into our own hearts, to point the way to the way that we can be transformed, the way that we can be changed, if only we continue to worship before the Lord and allow that light of his presence to change us and to bring us deeper into the mystery of the cross and resurrection.